The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott, this is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Your talk radio with Carl and Linda Bott. It's Tuesday. Linda's on assignment this morning. What's her assignment? Well, the horse is a little frisky, so I said, why don't you go out and ride her for a little while today and take that edge off her before I get on. Good morning. 7:05 news brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. I'll get started here in a second. Compassion, community, courage. That's Shasta Regional Medical Center, rated number one by so many of the different organizations in our country. It's your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center. Liam, good morning, buddy.
Good morning.
Is that sunshine in your eyes? Or are you okay?
Not currently. Okay. I'm hanging out.
Okay, so Liam showed up this morning. I saw his car drive in. I was still in my truck. And I saw a car drive in, and I looked over, and I said, maybe that's not Liam's car. Even though it's kind of hard to disguise it with the bumper stickers
with you the have stickers.
On it. Yeah. So I got out, walked in. So tell everybody what you did.
So I buzzed my whole head. Not like a buzz.
Not a buzz. No.
It's like a solid half, quarter inch.
Yeah, at least. At least.
Around there.
But see, Liam had a... He didn't have long hair, but you had...
A decent length.
A decent length hair. But then we find out...
I'm actually blonde.
Yeah.
I don't actually have black hair. Frankly, re-dyeing my hair every time it grows out, because my hair grows fast, too much work. So I buzzed it.
Well, it's not really a buzz.
It's not a buzz.
Right. But if you had not been your... If I looked at you and thought... And what did I say? Dress nicely. Because... With that haircut, you look like Christian Bale in one of the movies he made where people were chasing him around. anyway, Liam, what's the weather look like today?
Alrighty.
After all that?
Alrighty. So today we have a high of 100 degrees. We have a chance of a 30% chance of showers and then a 30% chance of thunderstorms. So it's probably going to be all muggy today.
Like it was yesterday.
Yeah,
it was crazy yesterday.
It was nasty. Yeah. Anyways, tonight we have a low of 75. We also have a slight chance of thunderstorms tonight. Wednesday, a high of 103. Wednesday night, a low of 76. Thursday, a high of 104. Thursday night, a low of 75. Friday, 101. Friday night, 74. We're just in the low hundreds here on out. So
Nothing spectacular.
No.
Except maybe rain tonight.
Yeah.
Danger of thunderstorms, of course. Thunderstorms means lightning. And all the fires, the McKinney Fire, which is, gosh, it's got to be, I don't know how big it is now.
We'll figure it out.
But you looked that up because yesterday it was at 55, and it's been like doubling and tripling in its size. So driving up to Dunsmuir, the smoke clouds they had, not only of just the McKinney Fire, there were two other fires that had significant smoke clouds going too. That was Sunday. So it's gotten worse. So let's get a report in on that. The weather report is always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, veteran-owned business out of Anderson. They set that business up a couple of decades ago. It's a family business, the Kenny family, and as Chuck and Judy have kind of stepped back a little bit, I mean, Chuck, you got to watch him. He'll be out there driving trucks. Not that he has to. He just likes to. The kids have taken over. All the propane comes out of that one tank or tanks down in Southern California or Central California. So it's customer service that's made Shasta Gas Propane so successful. They treat their customers like friends. They give discounts for seniors and veterans, and like I said, it's a veteran-owned business. Give them a call, 530-365-3793. Okay, we have with us today Max Steiner.
That's right. Well, how's it going, Carl? It's good to be back on the show.
You know what, Max? It's good having you back on. It's a like most Democrats. You're somebody I can talk to. And just as we have, I look at politics as a circle. And down at the, let's just say the 6 o'clock of the circle, that's just the vast majority of Americans, Democrats and Republicans, independents. Then as you go up each arm of it to you get to the very top on the right and the left, where they've got more in common with each other as anarchists than they have anything to do with the average Democrat and Republican.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, the analogy uses a horseshoe, but you're right. It's the same, right? And I think I'm probably a 530 Democrat, or I guess the left side would be 630. But I've got a lot more in common with people in the middle than people that are way to the left of me.
So tell people who Matt Steiner is.
Well, I'm the Democratic candidate for Congress, so I'm running for Doug LaMalfa here in CD1. I'm an Army veteran. I did 2 years in Iraq. After the Army, I went to college, joined the diplomatic service, served as an ag officer in Honduras, a consular officer in Tijuana, where I learned a lot about border issues, and then as a peacekeeper in Egypt.
Wait a minute. Where were you as the agricultural officer?
In Honduras.
Honduras. Okay, that's what I thought. I just thought I heard you wrong here.
Yeah, so we do a lot of exports to Honduras, a lot of commodity exports to them, and then we import mostly coffee, tobacco, that kind of thing.
Okay, and then you went to?
And then I went to Tijuana, Mexico.
That's why I thought you – okay, that's what I heard. I heard a Tijuana in there. What were you doing in Tijuana?
So the first year was all visas, so you kind of split your years. And that was, like Mexicans – trying to come to the United States, right, for work or pleasure. So we don't do any immigrant visas in TJ. Then my second year, I was mostly doing jails. So there are a lot of Americans that get arrested in Tijuana.
And there's a Marine base and Navy base in San Diego.
And I've dealt with Marines and Navy guys. Yep.
Gee, it seemed like a good idea at the time.
Yeah. Actually, the famous thing is like, what do you mean there's no Second Amendment in Mexico? So guys, do not take a weapon into Mexico.
Oh, no. I used to deliver yachts down to Mexico from San Diego. And no, it's not unusual for their coastal patrols to stop and really take a look at your boat looking for guns.
Right.
If they find it, that boat is then impounded.
Yeah, it's a big deal. And a lot of Americans just have, of all the cases we've encountered, right, 50% accidental. Like, clearly, they didn't even realize the gun was in their car. And then, most of the other ones were like, I thought I had a right to take it. And it's like, you do not.
Well, people that go down there, like, for extended vacations in RVs want a way of protecting themselves.
Exactly. But, so it seems like a super reasonable thing to do, but you cross the border, it's a different constitution.
Notwithstanding the fact that there are millions of guns in Mexico, but they're all owned by either the politicians or the gun cartels.
Or the cartels.
Oh, right. Yeah. So... okay, so after that, what happened?
And then I was a peacekeeper in Egypt, so part of the Camp David Accords, longstanding, peace between Egypt and Israel. So we still have a peacekeeper force there. So we drive the border, and basically we inspect Egyptian military installations in the Sinai Peninsula.
Okay.
So it was a fascinating tour. Got to see Mount Catherine. I mean, St. Catherine's, Mount Sinai. Uh-huh. And then after that, I went back to D.C. for a bit, got out, joined RAND. I was a... basically working at a defense think tank, looking at East Asian and Western Pacific, East Asia, kind of
the RAND Corporation.
The RAND Corporation.
Okay.
Right. Yep. So we were looking at, which is maybe topical today. How do you build alliances with Taiwan? To make sure you have a free and open Indo-Pacific.
Well, that's interesting because of everything that's going on right now.
Right, right. So Nancy Pelosi is possibly visiting Taiwan?
We don't know. It's not on her itinerary.
Right.
However, she could stop there.
Yeah.
So what do you think that the fact that she kind of announced or it was leaked that she was going to go to Taiwan and the Chinese have told us you will not go to Taiwan?
Yeah.
I mean... the Chinese telling us what, even though she doesn't sign the laws or anything, but she still is third in line for the presidency of the United States, telling us that she cannot go.
Right. I think that's the best reason to go. I would be very disappointed in Pelosi if she doesn't go.
Yeah. You know what? Pelosi and I do not agree on a lot of things, but I thought to myself, Nancy, you need to go there.
Right.
Now, I mean,
now that they told you,
now you need to. Whatever you call it, plant the flag. You need to go there. And we've already made the announcements. We're not making any changes in any of what we proclaimed before. But to tell us when our elected officials can't go to another country.
It's over the line. Yeah.
So what do you think happens if she doesn't go now?
Well, if she doesn't go, it makes us look weak. right? So Biden has walked back, I think, on two occasions now where he says he's going to defend Taiwan. I think Biden should have owned it. He should have said, yes, we're going to defend Taiwan. And both times Biden said that, you know, Biden's kind of a loose cannon on the press stand. I haven't been very impressed with him on foreign policy. But, you know, I think he's got the right idea. His staff is the one that's scared and that always walks back. And that you can read that however you want.
What the president meant to say was.
Yeah, exactly. It's always that.
He got off the teleprompter.
Right. Yeah, it's like, you know, because basically the question was, will you defend Taiwan? And President Biden said, yes, of course. And then, you know, 2 hours later, press release, the United States policy has not changed. The policy right now is strategic ambiguity, where we don't say yes or no. I think that's a bad policy. I'd like to see it changed. But definitely on a travel like this, you know, Pelosi should have gone a while ago. The last one to go was Newt Gingrich. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's been 25 years.
Okay. All right. I'm with Max Steiner. He's running for Congress, 1st District, as a Democrat. And he's going to be with us for at least an hour. And this portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at Cornerstone Community Bank. Cornerstone Community Bank, founded 15 years ago, is truly a community bank owned by locals, local board of directors, four branches, one at 500 Riverside Way in Red Bluff, one and two downtown here, or one downtown at 1845 California Street, the main branch over in the Cobblestone Shopping Center, and their newest branch down in Anderson. They've been moving local dreams forward since the day they opened. Learn more at bankcornerstone.com. We do business with Cornerstone Community Bank. We're very happy with them. We'll be right back with Max Steiner.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. The life I love is making music with my friends. I can't wait to get on the road again. On the road again.
Tired of listening to people who are angry all the time?
Try listening to Armstrong and Getty from 9 to noon right after Free Fire Radio.
Join the Cascade Theater for an energy-packed show with Trombone Shorty and Orleans Avenue on August 6th. Packed with funk, soul, R&B, and psychedelic rock, Trombone Shorty and Orleans Avenue is sure to provide an exhilarating evening packed with a strong rhythm section, hip-hop beats, and bright flashes of brass with hard rock energy. Don't miss this fun night with Trombone Shorty at the Cascade Theater on August 6th. Tickets available at cascadetheater.org or 243-8877.
Shasta County citizens advocating respect and the Sikh Cultural and Education Center, in partnership with the California Department of Public Health, are having a free COVID-19 vaccination clinic Friday, August 5th from 2 until 7 p.m. at All Saints Episcopal Church at 2150 Benton Drive in Reading. All brands of COVID-19 vaccines and boosters will be available for kids and adults. Kids must be accompanied by parents or guardians for consent. Come in and get vaccinated and enjoy free food while organizers hand out gift cards to vaccine recipients. No appointment needed. There will also be a team of medical professionals and multilingual interpreters on hand at this free COVID-19 vaccination clinic Friday, August 5th from 2 until 7 p.m. at All Saints Episcopal Church at 2150 Benton Drive in Reading. Shasta County citizens advocating respect and the Sikh Cultural and Education Center, in partnership with the California Department of Public Health, are having a free COVID-19 vaccination clinic Friday, August 5th from 2 until 7 p.m. at All Saints Episcopal Church at 2150 Benton Drive in Reading. All brands of COVID-19 vaccines and boosters will be available for kids and adults. Kids must be accompanied by parents or guardians for consent. Come in and get vaccinated and enjoy free food while organizers hand out gift cards to vaccine recipients. No appointment needed. There will also be a team of medical professionals and multilingual interpreters on hand at this free COVID-19 vaccination clinic Friday, August 5th from 2 until 7 p.m. at All Saints Episcopal Church at 2150 Benton Drive in Reading. Convert your your calling into a career at Shasta College this fall. Get a jump start on being transfer ready or boost your current career skills quickly and affordably with a certificate or degree. Our fall semester offers flexible class times and formats with online and more in-person offerings. Plan your tomorrow today by enrolling at Shasta College. Fall semester classes begin August 15th. Achieve more. Earn more. Shasta College. www.shastacollege.edu. Enroll online today.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at kcnr1460.com featuring Armstrong and Getty, both smart and funny. Plus, you will hear Dave Ramsey, Mark Levin, and Ben Shapiro. And don't miss our local programming right here on KCNR.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. This portion of the show brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive, our jewelry store of choice. Why? They've got a great selection of jewelry, from estate jewelry to specially designed pieces at fair prices. Really good people in there. And it's the only full-service jewelry store in Redding. You need a watch repaired. You need anything done when it comes to jewelry. Go to Four Winds Jewelry. Open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 4. We're here with Max Steiner, who is running for Congress District 1 as a Democrat. I got to know Max a couple years ago.
About a year ago.
A year ago.
Yeah.
And he is a veteran. He has spent time in the Foreign Service and in peacekeeping forces, two tours in Iraq.
In Iraq.
Okay. And so let's get to things that some of the things that you that's on your agenda here. And the first one I want to bring up is a Voting Rights Act. And and you've got a number of things in here that your party has not does not support.
Right. The big one is voter ID. You know, I think that's a reasonable requirement to vote in 2022. I think everyone should have a voter ID just to live in America in 2022. I mean, like, you kind of need it for almost everything you do, right? So the government should be facilitating that and encouraging that. Not everyone's going to need a driver's license, but I think a free voter ID makes a lot of sense. So my proposal is to have post offices issue voter IDs, federally recognized voter IDs. Just like the post office currently manages the passport application process. So they're used to verifying identity. They're used to processing these kinds of applications. And the best part, almost every community has a post office. And if you can't get to a post office, you know, like, it's, how low of a barrier can you go?
That's true. Now, so what, people would have to bring in proof of who they are?
Yeah, so kind of like how we did a visa or a passport overseas. You basically bring in a citizenship document, something that establishes your right to vote, nationality, and then you bring in some proof that you are the person on that citizenship document. So most Americans have a birth certificate. Obviously, it's just a name on a piece of paper. So you'll bring in like a series of photos, like school photos are great. High school yearbook, that's excellent. You know, it has your name on it. You can bring in documents that match you to that name. Like maybe it's your school report card from third grade. And it's like, well,
what,
you know,
about things like bills sent to you.
Exactly.
At your address for those, because they use that.
Those are good. One of the problems with bills is you do want to be on the lookout for people with a bunch of recent documents that only tie a name, because then those could be feeder documents. So we are very careful in how we manage passport applications, because obviously that's a very official document. And so we like to have 5 to 10 years of document continuity. But, you know, this is all kind of minutia, right? You know, if you have a bill, if you have a mortgage payment on your house, if you have like an old car payment or old car insurance card, that would be sufficient to establish.
So how would people in the inner city, let's just say, so they'd have to run down their birth certificate, because I imagine most of them don't have it.
Right. So that's
so
first
it's not going to be easy.
So first step
for a group of people like that.
Yeah. So I mean, this is a barrier, right? This is why the Democratic Party is opposed to it at all. I think that's unreasonable, right? Like, you know, the first step would be having to apply for that birth certificate, and then the next step would be going through, you know, your box of old stuff and saying like, oh, this is my old things, right? If you're applying for a passport at 18. nobody expects you to have that much documents. Mm-hmm. But over time, you know, if you're applying for your first passport at age 50, that does raise, you know, like, okay, we want to see you are who you say you are. And it would be the same for a voter.
Yeah, to get the new California driver's license, you have to go through a variety of steps there.
Yeah, the real ID process.
Yeah, the real ID process. So.
Yeah, it'd be a similar process to real ID. I think that's probably a better explanation because more people have exposure to that listening in.
Well, what about the Voting Rights Act? You say there should be a new Voting Rights Act.
Yeah, I'm very concerned, as I think are many Democrats, about recent state level policies that have, you know, raised the hairs on the back of my neck about voting. You know, we've got a lot of people running for Secretary of State positions that say, oh, the 2020 election was stolen. If I was there, I would have you know, basically certified different electoral states, different electors to send to Washington. I would have, you know, thrown these votes out. I'm concerned about these voting machines, you know, type XYZ. And those have proven to be untrue, right? And we've seen that has been, you know, just kind of a scare tactic, and I want to make sure that doesn't happen in elections in the future.
But what about when judges change the constitution of states instead of the state legislatures changing the constitutions? And in 2020, they extended voting for weeks in there.
Yeah, so I think that was Ohio, right? So the Ohio Supreme Court basically said, yeah, you can have early voting. And the legislature didn't fight at the time. And then after the election happened, the legislature was like, hey, we didn't approve this. We want to throw this election out. We don't like the result. And that's kind of changing the game after you've lost. So the Voting Rights Act would formalize all of these processes and make sure you don't have these kind of ad hoc decisions at the time, but also ensure that the election, the will of the voters is respected.
Would you support like a 3-day election window that everybody has to vote within that 3 days?
No, I kind of like the month. You know, California, I think it's 28 days that you have a mail-in ballot. I think that's worked pretty well. Obviously, we've had really low turnout in the primary, which is a bummer. But, you know, we've had no fraud with mail-in voting. We've had mail-in voting in the North State for, I think it's been 30 years, just because we're a very rural community.
And like 65-70% of the people vote by mail.
Right.
That's true. But they've asked to do that as opposed to the state just sending out and forcing people to vote by mail.
Right. Well, there's still the option to vote in
you
person.
You still have, but they still send out millions.
It's an opt-out rather than opt-in, right? So prior to 2020, you could opt in to vote by mail, mm-hmm. and now your default is vote by mail, and you can opt in to vote in person.
Okay. Ensure that elected politicians never have the power to change the results of elections outside of a court challenge.
Yeah, so that's what I was talking about with these secretaries of state that mm-hmm. are, I mean, especially the Arizona candidate, you know, he basically said, hey, I wouldn't have certified the 2020 election, right? And he's not saying that the Democrats didn't have the votes, that he's not saying that the Trump won the state. That's what he's saying implicitly. But his statement is saying, I don't care what the voters choose. I'm going to send a slate of electors to Washington that matches my preference. And that's not democracy. That's autocracy.
Okay. You don't believe in gerrymandering?
No, I think it's really corrosive. I think one of the big problems we have in Washington, there are a lot, but one of the big ones is that we have districts that are increasingly far right or far left. So, 1990, we had 100 congressmen that were representing districts that voted for a different president than the party of their sitting representative, right? So a district that voted for, I don't know, George Bush in 1988, right, the older one, would have voted for a Democrat at the same time as a congressman. And now it's like 12. It's almost none, right? So districts have become incredibly, they've gone to the extremes, right? You were talking about that clock hand. We all kind of hang out at the 6 o'clock and now we have 3 o'clock and 9 o'clock districts.
You know, the fact of gerrymandering has always been interesting to me. Right here in Shasta County, we realigned our supervisor districts and moved me out of the same district I've been in for 15 years into another district, totally different district, French Gulch, Platina, Igo.
Yeah.
And I live downtown here in Redding. And I kind of understand they want to have a representation of, you know, same amount of people there in the city since we do whatever we vote for, usually. Is what happens. But it was interesting how they did that in such a way that the guy that was running for District 2 is no longer lives in District 2. So that happened before. You know, I mean, he was still able to run, but now if he runs again, he's going to have to move.
Right. Yeah, it's there's a lot of shenanigans, especially at the county level where people are drawing their own maps.
Yeah, especially after they put a committee together that came up with, like, three ideas and they threw them all out.
Right.
And voted on the one they
wanted. Yeah, the same thing happened in Butte. You know, they hired this, I don't know exactly about Shasta, because I live in Chico.
Yeah, well, they put together a pretty good group of people, one from each district, and they all worked on it for a long time. The staff helped them and all this. They came up with the three ideas, and the board of supervisors just, now we're going to do it our way.
You paid a big consultant and then threw their work out. So $100,000 in taxpayer money right down the drain.
Okay, we're with Max Steiner, who is the Democrat candidate for the 1st District up here in Northern California, is our guest. This portion of the show brought to you by Quick and Clean Car Wash. If you want a great car wash or a truck wash, go over to Quick and Clean on the corner of Market and Eureka Way. I go there. Makes my truck look almost brand new, notwithstanding the little dents in where somebody in a white car rubbed me when they were backing out one day. But they have, it's a great service. Your car looks great. They have very friendly people. They wipe down your vehicle with clean towels at the end of it. And if you buy 5 car wash coupons, you get 1 free, or you buy 10, you get 3 free. Only at Quick and Clean Car Wash, corner of Market and Eureka Way. We'll be right back.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Redding.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier in all we do.
Premier Oil Change has been locally owned and operated since we opened in 2006, enjoying long-term relationships with our team members and loyal guests. Many of our team members have worked with us for over 10 years. Many of our certified technicians have logged over 30,000 oil changes, working on hundreds of different vehicle makes and models. In an ever-changing world, we strive to keep up with change with our extensive training program. It's important to the staff at Premier Oil Change that our customers' cars are well taken care of by experienced, well-trained technicians, so you can depend on your vehicle to get you and your family to your destination. Don't forget that you can earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro. Premier is in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park or our newest location in Anderson across from Roundtable. Remember, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Building on our foundational promise to educate ministers and missionaries, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
If you trust the government, if you believe the misinformation they're telling you is fact, you won't like our show, Poke the Hornet's Nest.
Hi, I'm your host, Doug Janke, and along with co-host Nick Gardner, we'll expose the dark side of governmental deception and misinformation from our local level, statewide, and to the national and world views.
On second thought, maybe the government believers should listen to the view of two middle-class, well-informed, working Americans.
Be sure to tune in to Poke the Hornet's Nest every other Sunday right here on KCNR1460.com, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, 8 to 9 every other Sunday morning.
And remember, you don't have to believe the artificial intelligence these people with college degrees are telling you, because sometimes they're misleading you. Listen to the other side of the news.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and Linda Bond. It's Tuesday. Linda's on assignment. 7:35 in the morning, 75 degrees. It's not going to be too hot today. What, 101? Are we?
I think we're sitting at 100 flat.
100 flat. Okay. Gosh, it's almost sweater weather. This portion of the show brought to you by Maxwell Insurance and Financial. Judy Maxwell started this business in 1993. She has two separate divisions, one for insurance and one for financial advice. She's located at 1378 Hilltop Drive. She's been helping people, like I said, since 1993. If you're looking for a second opinion on a retirement plan or 401k, considering what's going on in our economic conditions right now, with inflation the way it is and prices and everything else that's going on, you can give Judy a call for a free review and evaluation. Give her a call at 530-221-0441, Maxwell Insurance and Financial. We're here with Max Steiner, who is running for the congressional seat here in the 1st District as a Democrat. And we're going over the issues that that Max has here in his website, which is Max Steiner for Congress, S-T-E-I-N-E-R, for Congress.com. And let's talk immigration.
Yeah, big hot-button issue, always right at the third rail. So let's do that.
I mean, we don't have an immigration policy under the Democrats.
We have a very disjointed policy.
I mean, we're being swarmed.
Right. Well, I think it's been true under Republicans as well, but right.
We can go back to the last administration and say, well, maybe that's not so true.
Yeah, I think, you know, you can look at Trump tried to build a wall, didn't really. I will say that, you know, any immigration policy.
He had a good start on it.
Yeah, and then he's, you know, moved a lot of money from DOD to try to build it, but I think the biggest weakness we have in immigration right now is our deportation policy, right? So you need to understand a border is really three parts, right? You need a wall. You need people to man it, because otherwise, if you don't have anyone watching the wall, it doesn't matter. And you need to deport people to get past it, because if you have a good wall, but you know that once you're in, you're safe, people will keep trying to cross it until they get there. And about half of our illegal immigrants, or people that are illegally present in the United States, they came in through legal means and overstayed, right? So they came in on a visa, and they just never went home. And we're never going to get to the point as America where we just don't let anyone in, right? Like our tourism.
Well, no, we are a nation of immigrants, but we're not a nation that's going to be overrun by people here illegally.
Oh, right. No, I meant we will always let people in on temporary visas that aren't intending to stay, right?
Right.
So people that are coming in to be students, people that are coming in to visit Disneyland, you name it, you know, we give a visa for that. That's a tourist visa. But many of those people that have tourist visas don't go home, right? Because they look and they see a help wanted sign, and they go in and they ask, how much would I be making here? And they hear like, oh, it's five times more than what I make at home. Well, I guess I'm going to stay. And that's the problem, right? It's a problem for America. It's a problem for American workers. And it's also a corrosive impact on just our system as a whole. So I don't want employers to think that they can hire some guy who doesn't have status and get away with it.
Well, would you support the, what is that? E-card system or e-verify?
E-verify, absolutely. Yeah, we need to go to e-verify. I know there's been a lot of opposition to it, both from Democrats who are under the, I think, mistaken belief that, you know, if they just kind of pander to the undocumented immigrants that they'll get a lot of Hispanic votes. I think that's wrong. But it's also coming from, you know, Republican business owners, right? A lot of big businesses like to hire illegal immigrants because they can work them harder, and those immigrants have fewer protections. So you see that in meatpacking plants in the Midwest. You see that in agricultural enterprises here in California. I mean, these companies say, oh, E-Verify, it's too hard for us. You know, like, oh, this is a burden on us to hire. It's more bureaucracy. It's like, no, it's necessary bureaucracy often because otherwise we will
have to. If you can't get a job, you're not going to stay here.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, so your thoughts on the fact that the Democrats, the party that you're representing, is busing in hundreds of thousands of people and flying them in using arrest documents where they were arrested to use as plane ID, and going into areas that don't have an immigrant population.
Yeah, well, they're not flying them into the country, but they're flying, you know, they cross the border, they claim asylum, and then they fly them to an onward destination. And, you know, like, I'm against that. I saw this in Honduras, right? And I'm going to come across as kind of a right-wing Democrat, but I'm shaped by my experience in immigration. I was in Honduras, 2014. We had this wave of immigrants, unaccompanied minors, so UAMs. And basically, in 2012, there had been a change to visa law that greatly expanded what asylum meant. And asylum used to mean the government's trying to kill you, right? Think the Holocaust. And in 2012, the Obama administration changed it to mean, oh, you're suffering from gang violence or you're suffering from, you know, domestic violence, you know, spousal abuse, and you can claim asylum if your husband beats you in Honduras. And people figured out very quickly, because Hondurans are intelligent people, right, and they can see that they're going to make a lot more money working in the United States, so they just flooded the border. You know, they came up, and what starts to trickle rapidly turned into a flood. And ultimately, the United States had to start deporting people. And that's what it's going to take. You know, to have a strong border, you need to be able to tell asylum claimants no.
Well, how are you going to change the Democratic Party?
Because
Nancy Pelosi and Joe Biden. I mean, if you get elected, you're going to stand up in Congress and say, my party is, you know, they're crazy.
Yeah. Well, I don't think either party wants to solve immigration. You want me to be completely honest? I think 60% of politicians today do not want to solve immigration. Doug LaMalfa definitely doesn't. Doug LaMalfa is co-sponsoring a bill that would give amnesty to farm workers that are here illegally, right? Work on a farm for 8 years illegally, you get citizenship, right? And that's Doug LaMalfa, right? And that is it's called the Farm Worker Modernization Act. It's like FMWA or FWMA. So look it up. He's a co-sponsor along with this California Democrat down from the Bay Area. I don't remember her name. And I think that's wrong. I think you can't be given out citizenship like this. Reagan tried an amnesty in the 80s, and he said, hey, we're going to secure the border, then we're going to give an amnesty, we're going to press the reset button. It didn't work. Every time you get an amnesty, you encourage more people to come and stay because they know that eventually they'll get status.
So you would, one of your first speeches in Congress would be, we've got to close down the border.
Probably not the first. I do want my biggest issue to be forestry, right? And I'd rather not burn every bridge when I get to Washington, before I get like some substantive legislation passed. But I think, you know, once I get forestry and water, I do want to get some more dams built. Yeah, I think immigration is probably the biggest issue facing us as a country.
I think it is, and it appears that the Hispanics are abandoning the Democrat Party.
Yeah,
and by the millions. It looks like.
Right. I will say as an aside, you know, the Republican Party is well positioned to pick up the Hispanic vote. Like, I'm a Catholic. I've seen my church, you know, obviously used to be very white when I was an altar server, and now I go back home and it's very Hispanic, right? So it's gone from one Hispanic mass and three English masses to the reverse. And these are culturally conservative.
Hey, you know, the Hispanic people are a culturally conservative group of people.
They do not like the woke language.
Oh,
they want to work. They don't want the government to get too
word
much in their life.
Latinx.
Oh, wow.
Enrages them, and yet, you know, they continue to do that. And then Joe Biden refers to them as breakfast tacos.
I don't know about that, but I will say, you know, like, they're not a monolithic group, and I think Democrats treat them as a monolithic group.
Well, even if she didn't. That's what it sounded like. It sure fired up a lot of people.
Right. And if he had said that, it should. But yeah, right. I mean, Democrats have had this weird habit of saying like, oh, if you're a minority, you'll definitely vote for me because who else are you going to vote for? And that's wrong.
Well, and now that's changing.
And now it's changing.
It appears that we got to take a break. So, but it appears like the Republican Party is starting to be the party of, the working man. And the Democrats are becoming this white elite, college-educated group.
Yeah, I'd say more.
See, they're appealing.
Blue collar. Yeah, definitely rural working man. The Republicans made huge gains in rural America. I don't think that's been great for rural America, obviously. But I mean, I'm running in rural America as a Democrat, so I would say that. But I think it's important to understand, like, there are these shifts in parties, and they always kind of move around. And I think you've hit the nail on the head, especially under Trump.
Okay. We're with Max Steiner. You're running for Congress in the 1st District as a Democrat. We're going to take a quick break. Can we come back? We want to talk about his most pressing issue, of course, is forest and fires. This portion of the show brought to you by Patrick Gorman, attorney at law. If you're not getting treatment for work injuries because of denials, give Patrick a call. It's a free consultation. The insurance companies have lots of lawyers. You need one that knows the law, and he does. And he's there to fight for you. Patrick was a former Army 101st Air Assault Infantryman, a former law enforcement officer, and now a lawyer. You need somebody fighting for you. Give Patrick Gorman a call at 530-262-2168 today. We'll be right back.
Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly.
At Shasta Regional Medical Center, we're specialists in emergency care with the experience and training to deliver expert diagnosis and treatment to all emergency patients. Shasta Regional Medical Center is certified as an advanced primary stroke facility and is one of the nation's 50 top cardiovascular hospitals and is a fully accredited chest pain center. In an emergency when every minute has meaning and every second counts, choose Shasta Regional Medical Center, your choice for emergency care. Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring for our community when minutes matter.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage is now open at their new location at 1773 Highway 273 in the Shasta Gateway Center in Anderson, featuring new and existing vendors. Memory Lane is open from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. and features furniture, jewelry, sports memorabilia, antique desks and dressers, dolls and toys, clothing and hats, along with hand-carved decor, pictures and paintings, and so much more. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage, now open at their new location at 1773 Highway 273 in Anderson in the Gateway Shopping Center.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
The tradition continues at the Dry Creek Station at 22025 Highway 299 East in Bella Vista, featuring delicious steaks and seafood, chicken soup, salads, and much more. The Dry Creek Station, family-owned and operated, open since 1992, serving dinner Tuesday through Sunday from 5 to 9 p.m. with happy hour from 3 to 5. The Dry Creek Station is famous for their steamer clams. Friday through Sunday, don't miss their fabulous weekend specials. The Dry Creek Station at 22025 Highway 299 East in Bella Vista. So come on down to the Dry Creek Station, where quality and value meet.
Welcome Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. With Carl Lindebot, Linda's on assignment, 7:49 in the morning, 75 degrees, going up to 100 today on the 2nd of August. Thanks, ma'am. You let it go. And you know what I'm talking about, right?
I do.
You let July get away.
It just was such a quick month.
Hey, if you think about purchasing an electric car, Pete Buttigieg, who is the Secretary of Transportation, says, yes, hey, if that cost of gas is too much, go out and buy an electric car. But seriously, Redding Electric Utility has rebates available that can help offset the cost of your vehicle and charging station. Visit cityofredding.org/EV for more information about local, state, and federal rebates available. Okay, I said that only because Max Steiner is my guest, a Democrat running for Congress.
That's true.
It's true. He said it. You know,
sometimes politicians say tone-deaf things, or they say things that they don't understand how the rest of America lives, right? Like in a city, in America, makes a lot of sense.
They have become so detached, and this is both sides,
right.
Have become so detached, you know, when they're in there. You know, they're talking about, Democrats have introduced a bill that says 18 years for a Supreme Court justice, and among, you know, some other things too. But that's it. Let's put term limits on Supreme Court justices. Well, fine. I could support that if you make it for everybody, but they will never do that.
So, wait, they don't want to do it for every Supreme Court justice?
No. They don't want to do it for themselves.
Oh, well.
Now, if you wanted to add on to that, and all congressmen, and all senators, and all federal judges, not just the Supreme Court, because federal judges for a lifetime, too.
Yeah.
So, if you really want to make that change, then do it for everybody.
You should commit. No, I think that's true. I do think, you know, judges do need term limits. I think 18. And
not elected officials?
I think elected officials should definitely be stepping back. I think we've been poorly served by elected officials that hang out for 20, 30 years. I would be in favor of term limits, but I mean, I guess California had term limits and it didn't work out great. For elected officials, because it ended up
still have term.
They do, right? But
then they go to a different job.
They went to a different, exactly. So you're always
another elected position
for the next job. And I think that was a critique, right? So 10 years ago.
Anyway, let's go to forest and fires. Talk to me about you want to do something about the how we take care of forest.
Yeah, I think the big thing we need to fix the way we do forest management. And we've had a pendulum swing too far from, we had a very liberal forest regime, which was kind of a, you know, clear-cut 1960s, 1970s. The pendulum has swung all the way. Northern Spotted Owl, Environmental Process, NEPA, the National Environment
Policy. Red-tailed Salamander.
Yeah, exactly. So everything's cut down on the ability of people to cut. And we need to come back to the center. We need to come back to balance. So the pendulum has swung too far towards environmentalism. We need to go back towards management.
One of the facts you say, in 1995, the U.S. Forest Service spent 16% of its budget on fire. Last year, they spent 65%. It's not going to get any better.
And it's not going to get any better. So we do need to increase funding for the Forest Service. We do need to spend money on fire. The long-term solution, though, is better management of forests. And that means forcing the Forest Service to allow timber companies to grow, to process timber, to cut down the trees that will become the houses of tomorrow. The best way to store carbon is to grow it in a tree for 80 years and put it in a house for 250. And I'm a firm believer that we should have a much stronger timber industry in the North State, and we have been failed by 20 years of policies.
Yes, we have. And I don't think there isn't a person out there, including even some of the people in Sacramento, believe that we should start thinning these forests and using the trash part of it for cogen plants, is a renewable asset and it provides electricity, and yet we don't see that.
Right.
Why do you think that is, Max?
Well, part of the problem is that the Democratic Party doesn't say that the cogen plants are renewable, right? So they classified cogen and nuclear and hydro as all non-renewable energy sources, and I think that's crazy. We need more leaders on the left, especially in California, to say, no, you need to manage a forest. People live here. And that means that you're going to need to cut. You're going to get some cost recovery out of burning that basically waste, for power. Why have we not seen it though? I mean, honestly, It's a complicated economic answer, probably too long for a radio interview. But the short answer is that how do we fix it, right? And we need to have more mills, we need to have more people cutting down trees, and we need to have more trees, national forest lands cut.
Well, most of the fires, you know, when we get them, we find that the privately owned forest, they do have a tendency to take care of them better. Yeah. Because, I mean, there's their money, but it takes 2 years to get a cutting permit.
Right,
which is environmentalist. One environmentalist organization of two people can hold up
exactly
something forever.
Right. So one of the big changes that I want to push through is to make basically timber management plans and timber sales from the Forest Service administratively non-justiciable, which means they can't be challenged in court. We've had a big problem in this country since really the 80s where more and more things have just been subject to lawsuits, and that slows the process down. It greatly increases cost, and it's had a terrible effect on our forests.
You're talking about spending $1 billion a year to subsidize the startup cost and streamline the regulations for greater mill capacity.
Yeah, so when I say I want to build more mills, like, I mean it, and I think the government's going to have to pay that cost. I think that our forests, they are a national public health concern, right? Every time you have a fire, obviously you have property damage. You know, my brother lost his house to the car fire here in North Reading a couple years ago.
Four years ago, last month, to be exact.
Yeah. That's a great house now, right? But, I mean, his hillside is still burned.
Did he rebuild in the same area?
He rebuilt same property, right? But his street, he's out kind of by the Elks Lodge on Halder.
Now, that... You know, you would never think that that area would burn up. We have friends that lost houses in there.
He's a 5-minute drive from here.
Yeah, because it's a catastrophic, because we don't take care of our areas out here. And I think, and people understand it, but yet we don't see movement.
Right.
No matter what the legislators say, and I'm not, you know, Lamoff has been screaming about it, other people have been screaming about it, Democrats have been screaming about it, yet we don't see any movement.
Right. And you won't see any movement unless you start changing who those actors are, right? Doug LaMalfa has had 20 years to fix forestry. He hasn't. I think it's time for a change, and I would like to be that change. I think I've got good ideas. I think I'm pretty well-placed as a Democrat to say, hey, I'm a conservative Democrat, and we need to cut down some trees for fire safety.
So do you think a conservative Democrat may be more effective than a Republican?
I think in California, yes. I mean, I don't think you'd necessarily need – you can be an effective Republican. Doug LaMalfa is not. But I do think that it's easier to be, you know, a Democrat who says, hey, I'm sorry, the environmentalists are wrong on this.
Yeah, but you're at the national level.
Right. But in California especially, you will need to have state buy-in for these policies, right? Like, we have 51 representatives in Washington. We should be building alliances on forestry. Every California representative gets calls when, you know, the skies turn black from smoke from Northern California. And I want those guys on my team, because if I can get 50 reps with me, you know, I'm already a quarter of the way to passing a bill. You only need 218 votes.
Well, and you're absolutely right. There's 51 from California, 50 of whom are below the below Sacramento. One district in L.A. is this equivalent to all of Northern California.
Yeah.
Do you think they really care about fires?
I think they do when they get smoke, right? I mean, they're allies. They're potential allies.
You know what? If a third of... If a fire hit L.A., they may think about it. And I'm not talking, you know, it would have to be, I'm not sure it would have to burn all of Orange County before it hits L.A., but Orange County's been on fire.
But L.A. gets the massive fires too, right? Forest fires are a problem throughout the state. Drought is a problem throughout the state. And the current process of, you know, basically don't cut anything is not working anyway. But yeah, L.A.'s got Los Padres National Forest. They get big fires every year, and we always see it on TV because that's where all the news stations are based. I think that there are alliances that we could build. Doug LaMalfa has obviously proved unable or unwilling to build those alliances. I think a big problem there, you know, I'm going to say those magic two words on a conservative radio station, you know, climate change, right? Doug LaMalfa doesn't want to admit it's real. I think that turns off a lot of Democrats. They don't want to be seen, you know, talking a climate issue with a Republican who doesn't think climate change is real.
Well, I think one of the problems, and by the way, Max was only scheduled for this first hour, and my second hour guest called me yesterday and is having a health issue. So I'm going to hold Max over because there's like three different things I want to get to. We haven't even gotten into the Second Amendment. We haven't gotten into abortion yet. And I'd like to get into that in the next hour.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a politician. This is a radio station. I'm like bees to honey. Right?
Okay. All right. We'll be right back after the next.
Yes. The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. She's done it. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has just arrived in Taiwan. Welcomed at the airport in Taipei just moments ago. Pelosi is the highest-ranking U.S. official to visit the self-ruled island that is claimed by Communist China in 25 years. Pelosi's visit triggering increased tension between China and the U.S. Despite a pledge not to give safe haven to al-Qaeda, it would appear that Afghanistan's Taliban leaders have been doing just that. The leader of al-Qaeda has been killed in a U.S. drone strike in Afghanistan.
President Biden confirmed the death of Ayman al-Zawahiri, who led the militant al-Qaeda group in the 11 years since Osama bin Laden was killed.
He carved a trail of murder and violence against American citizens, American service members, American diplomats, and American interests.
That trail of violence and murder included the September 11th terror attacks. Addressing the nation, the president declared that justice has been delivered. Greg Clugston, Washington.
Three of the 10 Republicans who voted to impeach President Trump facing tough primaries today, competing against Trump-endorsed challengers.
Since leaving office, Mr. Trump has spoken out against the Republicans he thinks crossed him. Tuesday's races feature two lawmakers, one from Washington and one from Michigan, who are expected to be closely watched as yet another test of Mr. Trump's influence with GOP voters. Congressman Peter Meyer is facing off against Trump-endorsed Josh Gibbs in Michigan's 3rd congressional district, and he was the only first-term Republican to vote to impeach the former president. Representative Jamie Herrera Butler of Washington faces 4 Republicans and 3 Democrats in what's known as a jungle primary, in which the top 2 vote-getters of any party advance to the general election. Bernie Bennett reporting.
Catastrophic flooding in eastern Kentucky has claimed at least 37 lives, 100 still unaccounted for. Wall Street, the Dow down 175 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Charlie Dombeck here from Key City Capital. As a practicing CPA for nearly 30 years, I have found that 80% of your ability to grow your wealth is dependent upon 2 factors, taxes and investment performance. At Key City Capital, we improve investment performance by diversifying capital into off-market investment opportunities in passive rental real estate and alternatives like asset-backed lending. We recover dollars that clients unnecessarily pay in the form of income taxes, creating a lifetime annuity of savings. We are a sponsor of passive, affordable single and multifamily residential rental investments, which are located in Sunbelt landlord-friendly states. These investments are the top choices in a rising interest rate and inflationary environment. They represent a store of value, protecting your capital from market volatility. Learn how we at Key City Capital can help you ultimately grow your wealth rapidly. Connect with me at keycitycapital.com or give me a call at 817-912-1569.
President Biden will task FEMA and CDC officials with leading the administration response to the monkeypox outbreak.
Under criticism for a slow vaccine rollout, President Joe Biden is set to appoint a White House monkeypox response team. The White House says Biden will name Robert Fenton of the Federal Emergency Management Agency as White House monkeypox response coordinator. Dr. Dimitris Askalakis of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention will be Fenton's deputy. Fenton helped lead FEMA's max vaccination effort for COVID-19 when Biden first took office. Askalakis is a national expert on issues affecting the LGBTQ community. The monkeypox virus spreads through prolonged and close skin-to-skin contact, as well as sharing bedding, towels, and clothing. The U.S. saw its first case of confirmed monkeypox on May 18th. There are now over 3,000 confirmed infections. Mike Gracia, Washington.
Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. It played a role in Elvis's return to music, and it could be yours.
It is the guitar Elvis played in a TV special that reignited his music career after a 7-year stint in the movie business. Singer Presents Elvis is often referred to as the 68 Comeback Special that was aired on NBC on December 3, 1968. The guitar that Elvis played on the show is going up for auction on August 27th. Along with some watches, chains, and cufflinks that he gave to his manager, Colonel Tom Parker. Tayshia Stevens reporting.
And recapping the hour's top story, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, currently on a visit to Asia, has just arrived in Taiwan despite threats from Communist China. Self-ruled island, of course, is claimed by China
and Beijing is warned of resolute and strong measures if Pelosi went ahead with the visit. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning, and welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM at 1460 AM. We're on 7 to 9 AM, Monday through Friday, here to the 2nd of August, 8:05 in the morning, and the news brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your health, your choice. Go to the one that's been rated number one for so long, Shasta Regional Medical Center. Liam's at the helm in there. Good morning, buddy.
Good morning.
And what's the weather look like?
Alrighty. So today we have a high of 100, a 30% chance of showers, and then a 30% chance of thunderstorms. Tonight, a low of 75. We have a slight chance of thunderstorms tonight. Wednesday, tomorrow, a high of 1 to 3, a low of 76. Thursday, high of 104. Thursday night, low of 75. Friday, a high of 101. Friday, low of 74. And it's just the low hundreds throughout the rest of the week.
Okay. All right. Hey, weather reports are brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, a locally owned, locally run company out of Anderson, a veteran-owned business that treats their customers as friends. They have discounts for seniors and veterans and much more. Give them a call at 530-365-3793. Hey, I'm holding Max Steiner, the Democrat candidate for Congress, over for another 15 minutes or so. Because I want to talk to him about the Second Amendment.
Yeah.
Because Democrats are in Congress are putting together all of these bills to take away law-abiding Americans' firearms.
Right.
And they're voting in mass to take away the semi-automatic rifle from me.
Yeah,
and
law-abiding gun owners like you.
Would you support that?
No, no. And I don't support Governor Newsom's weaponizing, you know, the court system, basically, with this law saying
the
you
Texas?
Can sue anyone. Yeah, basically this gun law based on the Texas, what's the Texas abortion law. But yeah, you know, I got the highest rating out of any Democrat running for Congress from CRPA. We're waiting for the, you know, the highest rating of any Democrat. So I didn't get an A. I got a D. D is passing, I think, in some quarters. What? Every other Democrat got an F.
Everybody else got an F.
I got a D.
In the land of blind people, the one-eyed man is king.
The top Democrat. Yeah, and I'm going to own it.
Okay.
We're waiting on the NRA, to come out. But yeah, you know, I don't want to come across as like, oh, you know, like, I'm going to be everything you dream for, right? But I'm a reasonable Democrat. I think, you know, I was hoping for a C or a B, but I'll take it. Yeah, you know, I think most gun owners are legal gun owners. I support strong background checks. I support red flag laws, but your ability to buy an AR-15, you know, I think that's part of what the Second Amendment means. I don't have one. You know, I train with them. But I think it's very clear the Second Amendment is that you're supposed to be using weapons that prepare you for war. And currently the U.S. Army uses the M4, M16, and the AR-15 is the civilian equivalent of that. I do think a lot of California, you know, like the assault weapons ban, you know, like a bayonet leg, you know, my privates, the guys, I think I was one of the last basic training classes to go through the bayonet course at Fort Benning. We don't even use the bayonets anymore. They're on our inventory books, right? We lay them out once a year and count them and just hope that someday the Army will take them away from us. So it's less things we have to count on our annual inventory. But, you know, that's not a component of a weapon that we need to be worried about. But yeah, pistol grip, I think that's fine. You know, a shorter AR is great. These are things that law-abiding Americans use. We have, you know, I think I saw this quote, there's like, a million AR-15 or equivalents in circulation.
Oh, I think there's probably more than that.
Yeah, it could be. Right.
There are. I mean, there's more guns than there are people in the United States.
Right. Well, I'm just talking AR-15s. But
yeah.
But, yeah,
and but there are millions of them.
Right. There's a handful of cases every year. So that's a weapon that's really used well by most people that own it. And I think people are missing context, right? They see a news story. They're like, oh my God, there's been a school shooting. We need to ban that weapon. And you don't try to ban every car type whenever you see a bad car crash.
So do you see any So you don't see any restrictions then on people being able to buy a weapon of their choice, firearm of their choice.
Semi-automatic would be my line.
Yeah, well, you can't buy an automatic.
Right, right. But I just want to make it clear for listeners. So semi-automatic, and I think, you know, there are people saying...
How about high-capacity magazines?
The high-capacity, right. So we were talking about that. So, you know, I think 20-round limit is where I'm comfortable with. A lot of people want more. And, you know, I can see liberals saying, oh, I want 10, right? I think this will be a debate. I think that's a much more reasonable debate, as that's not exactly covered by the Second Amendment. You know, I definitely don't want it to go below 10. But I think my ideal would be having a 20-round magazine limit, which was the original design capacity of the M16.
Yeah, but they switched that to 30.
They switched to 30.
Yeah.
And we currently use 30-round magazines. But for training, right, for training, we'll often load privates with 5-round mags, right, just to make sure they get that mag change muscle memory in.
Yeah, but it's always good to have more.
It's true. Sure. Hey, I agree. Right. Like, that's why my line is
combat.
Going.
You've been in combat.
Yeah.
How many magazines do you count?
210.
And people
right.
will say, "Well, that's combat." Well, you know, a 10-round magazine can be switched just as fast as a 20.
Right.
And
you've got
to
make that.
It gets down to it, though. The people, it seems like almost every case, people have bought these guns legally.
Yeah. And I think that, well, that actually does bring up another point. So I am okay, you know, really this has come up in the last couple months, right? We had that supermarket shooting, then we had the school shooting, right, both by people 19, I think, and 18. You know, having an age limit on a semi-automatic for men actually does kind of start to make sense for me, right? To say, like, hey, you need to be 21 to buy this kind of weapon. Same line as alcohol. And that's just a kind of a response to these shootings. We've had a lot of really young people turn 18, buy a weapon, commit a shooting. And that's something that we might be able to stop, right? Like, I'm totally fine with them going off and shooting their dad's weapon. But, you know, I want their dad to own it. I want their dad to be kind of in charge of it.
In this last case, dad signed for him, even though that...
Yeah, you're right.
So, you're not going to do away with stupid behavior.
Right, but he didn't shoot anyone at 17 with dad's weapon, right? Dad signed off on it. I think the dad is completely in the wrong there. It looks like that guy had so many red flags. We're talking about the Uvalde shooting.
Uvalde shooting, I mean, he did. And yet, and there were so many other things that involved with that, too, including the law enforcement.
Right.
Okay, well, let's go to, so you're saying there should be no restriction, and maybe when you're 21 to buy a semi-automatic rifle.
Yeah.
But hunting rifles, how about pistols?
Pistols, I think, are fine. Pistols are more, honestly, they kill more people than rifles. But I think, you know, pistols at 18 is okay. I think hunting rifles, you should be able to buy at 14, right? I mean,
the state of California is trying to outlaw, they've passed a law that says that, I mean, essentially they're in school trap teams.
Right, and I think that's completely wrong, right? I mean, Reading's got a lot of trap teams. I know the CRPA chapter here in Shasta was trying to sponsor one as well. I think that's great. You know, my high school used to have a firing range under it. And this is an inner-city high school in Sacramento, McClatchy, built 1930, you know, works progress. Looks a lot, actually, like Shasta High, kind of big white monumental structure. And right under the math hallway, there was a firing range. There was a shooting range.
Well, you know, guns haven't changed.
No.
But guns have not changed.
People have changed. And I think that's unfortunate. But I want everyone to be graduating high school. You know, I think most people, honestly, should handle a rifle in high school so they know how to...
At least have safety classes.
Exactly. Take a weapon, get it to safe, but also fire it, you know, 3 to 5 times just to feel like, hey, this is what it's like. It might be something that they really enjoy. I really enjoy shooting, right? And this is kind of informs why I'm pre-pro Second Amendment. I didn't shoot a gun at all before the Army. My family... Very liberal. But, you know, like, I enjoy shooting. I don't have a gun because my wife doesn't want me to have one. We're about to have kids, so I get it. But I've got a lot of people in my unit. They're like, hey.
We have a show on Thursday nights. It's called Man Up.
I know.
You probably listen to it.
Yeah. That's a fight I'm not willing to pick. I'd rather fight
Recruiter. It's like the Democrats dying on the voter's ID hill. Do you really want to die there?
Yeah, is that your hill? No. Like, send me a home intruder. I'm not going to pick that fight.
Good lever action.
Yeah. Well, okay. My grandpa's got a lot of guns, and I'm probably going to get some of them. So we'll see. We'll have that conversation. But, you know, like, I want people to be able to go buy an AR-15, you know, slap a magazine into it, and go to a range on Saturday or Sunday. It's so much better than sitting in your house and watching Netflix.
Okay. Let's talk about, I'm going to hold you again. I want to talk about water.
Yeah.
It has become, I mean, the old saying that, you know, whiskey's for drinking
and water's for fighting. Over.
I mean, it's becoming like this. And I want to hear what your ideas are for the water crisis we're running through right now. And again, we're with Max Steiner, who is a Democrat running for Congress. And Max is not your, I'll just say, is not your typical liberal Democrat.
Right.
On the other hand, he's not your typical conservative Republican either.
Right.
Or Republican. So, this portion of the show brought to you by River Commons Senior Living. River Commons Senior Living is not an assisted living facility. No, it's for people that have just said, you know what, I need to change my life. I need to have more freedom. I need to get away from owning a home and everything that goes with that. So, River Commons Senior Living, beautiful living accommodations. It's pet-friendly, gourmet food, transportation if you wish it. You don't need to use that. Lots of activities going on. It is Northern California's premier retirement community. For a personalized tour, give Brian a call at 530-238-5981. Get out of the plumbing issues. Get out of the yard issues. And live someplace where you have a lot more time to enjoy yourself. Give him a call at 530-238-5981. Worry less, smile more. River Commons Senior Living. We'll be right back.
Life is too short to be uninformed.
The Armstrong and Getty Show, 9 to noon on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
KCNR, 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at KCNR1460.com. Tune in to Mark Levin, Dave Ramsey, and Ben Shapiro. Plus, don't miss our local shows, including Free Fire Radio on KCNR.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio, your community radio station. Today, the 2nd of August, 8:20 in the morning, 76 degrees, going up to 100 today. It actually rained a little bit yesterday, kind of scary. Not a lot, just enough to make your cars all need to go down at Quick and Clean Car Wash. This portion of the show brought to you, pretty good, huh? I got Pat Karch out in the other room laughing. My segues. This portion of the show is brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Shasta Regional Medical Center is one of the nation's 50 top cardiovascular hospitals recognized by the Watson Health Institute, one of the highest rated hospitals by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, A ratings from national organizations. That's Shasta Regional Medical Center. Healing starts here. I'm with Max Steiner, Democratic candidate for Congress for the 1st District. We talked about any number of things. You can always go back to our archives right after the show and listen to them. So let's go to water.
Yeah, so we kind of left before the break. So the big plan for water for federal is to build more dams. So we need to build sites. Looks like there's finally getting some progress on that, but I'll believe when I see it, right? It's been in progress since.
And that's being held up by who?
That's being held up by, well, Democrats. By the Democrats in California, right?
There you
so
go.
This is okay. What I mean, okay. Being a conservative, right? So Doug Lamolf has been pushing this at the federal level, but there are a lot of projects in California you need federal and state buy-in. And Doug Lamolf has not been great at building bridges to Sacramento. But yeah, I mean, sites have been going on for my grandpa, actually, who's now 92. He was monitoring wells, basically worked for the Geologic Survey, the State Geologic Survey, in 1961 in sites. So that tells you how long that project has been on the drawing board. But yeah, so we need to build sites. I think we should be raising Shasta Dam. You know, like, we have a water capacity problem in the state. So those are the two big builds that we could do. There are a lot of smaller other dams that you can do to add a couple thousand acre feet here and there. And the other big thing we need to look at is reevaluating our relationship between basically of water. Between fish, right, environmental purposes of water and agriculture and city use. You know, cities are never really going to be cutting their water that much, but we need to be putting more water into irrigation districts. We were just talking about the ACID canal went dry. That's going to hit a lot of people on wells.
Oh, yeah.
Because that canal, it's not just people that are using that surface water. That canal is recharging that aquifer in the Anderson area. And this is something that we need to be aware of as a state.
So you take your priorities would be people, agriculture, and then fish?
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good
line. What about reclaiming water? The state of California sucks on this, as does most of the United States.
Yeah, so, you know, LA's gone to treating brown water, right? So basically you get your waste, you treat that.
Your gray water, right.
And then you reintroduce that into the sewage system. I think that makes a lot of sense for places like LA. Probably not necessary up in Redding. We have plenty of water here, but you know, everyone is drinking gray water down the river, right? Redding treats its waste, puts it back in the Sacramento, and
it's one of my fondest, you know, pleasures that every time I use the bathroom that somebody in Sacramento uses it.
Right. So someone's drinking it in Sacramento, brushing their teeth with it. But you know, like this whole thing of like, oh
maybe
my God,
that,
I can't believe you'd use sewage water for your house. It's like, well, that kind of happens now. If you're pulling out of a river and you're not the first city on the river.
Yeah. Well, you can recycle the gray water. I mean,
yeah, you treat
your
it.
House and you can use it in your yard,
yeah,
you know, for your animals,
for
all that
years.
Agriculture. Okay.
Right. So that's water.
All right. Okay. Let's talk abortion. Abortion on demand.
No. So I'm a pro-choice guy. I think Roe v. Wade, we should legislate that into law. I think it was a pretty good compromise, and I think we should stick there. You know, I'm a Catholic. I'm opposed to it personally, but I don't want to put my faith into the law books. And I think there's been this real push by the religious right to say, like, I want my faith to be legislatively true as well. And I think that's too much. That's not what our country
well,
is built on.
Let's say the Roe versus Wade was a bad law to begin with, according to Ginsburg. And so it was overturned by the Supreme Court for reasons, and it was 6-3, right? Yeah, 6-3.
Yep, 6-3.
It wasn't like 5-4, it was 6-3. And so they said this should be something the state should take on.
They sent it back to the
as
states.
As are many other cases that should be down at the state level instead of the federal level.
Well,
how much should the federal level be in our lives?
Well, I think for constitutional rights like abortion, that's where the federal level has to step up.
That's not a
right.
And that is not a constitutional right, Max.
Well, I would say the right to privacy, right? So for these fundamental rights, I wish you're right. I mean, I wish that we had legislated it. I think
well, abortion wasn't a big problem back when they. What do you think about the Constitution? Is it a living document?
Well, I think it's a document that can be changed. I know what you mean by living document. No, not in the terms of like how that term is used. But obviously, we've made amendments to our Constitution. We've added stuff.
We have
stuff out. So I don't want to put the Constitution in stone and never change it. But I also don't think it should be reinterpreted by judges every, 10 years,
every 2 years,
or
right, or whatever.
Every time there's a new judge, and that's what's really concerning me about the Roe v. Wade decision is that it's obviously this is the opinion of a new batch of judges, and not that any of the laws changed, not that any of the words changed. Right? They made a decision in 73.
So okay. And it was in 1973, right. So it was re-looked at now. But one of the things that is very offensive to me is to hear a governor of a state say that a child can be born and then put to death. I mean, is there the vast majority of the United States doesn't think there should be abortion after, like, the 24th week.
Yeah, I think that's true. And that was
should
Roe v. Wade.
You know, if you're going to have a federal law, should that be in there?
I think that's the good – well – I don't know if you legislate that. You put that up to the doctor. But I think you should definitely have far more restrictions after 24. I will say 24 is basically the line of viability, right? Third
yeah.
trimester.
Yeah.
Almost no abortions occur in the third trimester now. And those that do are usually because of the health and safety, almost always because of the health of the
and
mother.
And I hear that argument from every time. So how many is killing one or two, is that okay?
No.
One or two babies?
That's not okay.
That's right. So it's either, this is a either or.
Well,
in
I mean,
this case.
You do need to put the doctor and the woman in charge of this decision. Right? And that's my point, right? Is that we can have this disagreement, but you're basically saying, I want the government to have oversight into your reproductive choices. I want the government to be in your office.
I would think that there are cases that I see in other states under no conditions are there abortions. I don't agree with that. Because there are probably conditions that they should be. They should, a doctor says, no, and this is going to cause
we had
loss of life.
The 10-year-old rape victim that had to go
which,
to...
You know what? And that's something else. A 10-year-old rape victim, everybody focuses on that one child that was molested by her mother's boyfriend. And we focused on that as opposed to the real question of the millions of other babies that are being terminated every year.
Right, but that person is, that 10-year-old is a real person as well, right?
And that's true.
When I say, we don't want to lose one or two babies in the third trimester, I also say I don't want to lose one or two 10-year-olds.
And that was an extraordinary case.
Right.
It's like if UFO landed on Mount Shasta.
Well, I don't know. I'm afraid we're going to start seeing a lot more cases like that come out, Carl. I'm just, this is why Roe v. Wade passed in 73. It's because we had, women dying because they were going to illegal abortion providers that didn't care about their health.
And there are states that are saying there's no abortion in our state. And if you want an abortion, you have
right.
to go someplace else.
And yeah. I think most Americans don't want that. I think there's this line, right?
But most Americans also know that except in rare cases, like the 10-year-old or other people being molested or raped, that there is a plethora of birth control methods that people can use. And I realize, and I've had in my family, I've had a stepdaughter that, that had an abortion years ago, decades ago. But it's also because she could have used birth control, but she chose not to.
Right.
And I'm kind of in a mix. I know that after 24 weeks, if a child can be viable, that to me is murder.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think most Americans share that view. I kind of share that view. I do think, if you can have a kid, have a kid. I do want to talk a little bit about like what you can change to reduce abortion without just making it legal or illegal. I think prenatal coverage should be free in this country. I'm not a fan of universal health care. I think that's something you earn and you pay for. And maybe we'll reassess that in the future, but, I think prenatal care should be free. I think having a kid should be free. I don't want any woman to be making a choice to have an abortion because she's worried about paying $20,000 in medical bills if she's uninsured. And I think that's something that, you know, Democrats and Republicans could come together on and say, like, hey, at least on health care, like, we are going to cover your birth, right? We're going to make sure you're getting good prenatal care. We're going to make sure that the hospital is not bankrupting you, you know, because we want you to have that kid. And if you can't afford the kid, put it up for adoption. But don't abort because you can't afford to have a child.
Okay. We're here with Max Steiner. I tell you what, we're going to go over our regular break here because I'm going to give you the last 3 or 4 minutes, whatever it takes, and for your concluding remarks.
Yeah. So, well, hey, thanks for having me on the show again. You know, I love talking on the radio. And, you know, I'm a conservative Democrat. I'm a moderate Democrat. I think we need more moderates in our government. I think we need more veterans. And I've served 4 years in active duty, you know, and I've served now 17 total. We've been active duty and reserve. I'm a first sergeant in the civil affairs unit. And I think it's really important for more veterans to serve in Congress. I think it's important for Congress. I think it's important for the country. So we have the fewest number of veterans in Congress now than we've had at any time since World War II. I think that's a big reason why we've had such a divided and ineffective Congress. Because a veteran, you know, we can build across the line. Like I can talk
okay,
to you.
Okay, wait a minute. I want you to stop right now because I am going to take a break because I do want to ask you one more question.
Oh, you got it, Carl.
On the military.
Yeah.
Okay, and then you can go back and pick up again. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop. Cypress Square Barbershop, my barbershop of choice, man's last stronghold, for 15 years. Why? Because a variety of reasons, but the best reason is I always get a good haircut. I mean, no matter how much I like the people, if I come out with, you know, the side of my head looking strange, I'm not going to go back. Well, Cypress Square Barbershop, I haven't had a bad haircut in 15 years from a variety of barbers there. They have, it started with DC and now it's Tim and Logan. They work by appointments only, 530-244-9478. And like I said, it's man's last stronghold. Cypress Square Barbershop, right across the parking lot from Lucky Miller's, right off of Athens Avenue. We'll be right back.
VNT Satellite has you covered with a 2-year TV price guarantee from Dish. Great TV service, stable price, no surprises.
Don't call the 800 number.
Call 530-241-3474 or visit VNT Satellite, your local premier Dish retailer today.
Monthly equipment fees and other restrictions apply. Recording hours vary, 2,000 hours based on SD programming. Remote viewing requires internet connection and compatible mobile device.
Are you new to crypto? It can leave you feeling unsure of what to do. Help is available. From getting started to securing your cryptos, you don't need to go it alone. Bitcoin 530 will take you by the hand to help you move forward with your crypto journey. Schedule a free consultation with Bitcoin 530 at bitcoin530.io or give them a call at 530-324-5175. That's bitcoin530.io.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
This is Carl Bott and Ted Leidy. We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes?
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
This is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio, with Carl and Abad. Good morning. It is Tuesday. Tomorrow on our show, we are going to have the Reading Police Department will join us, and we are going to be talking about what's going on in our city crime-wise. But today we have with us Max Steiner, who is a Democrat candidate for Congress for the first district. I had him on from 7 to 8, but then I didn't hit all the issues, so I figured we should get all these issues out. And we were I was letting him do his last 3 or 4 minutes of why you should vote for me, and I cut him off because Max is an Army veteran. In fact, he's still in reserves right now, for certain reserves. I want to talk about the military, Max. I am just really concerned about our military. Yeah. Oh, by the way, Pelosi landed in Taiwan. And did I already mention this on the air? Or did just, okay.
Not yet.
Pelosi landed in Taiwan. Today, and let me say that this very clearly. For this day, in this time, hooray for Nancy Pelosi.
Right.
Okay? Now, do not take that out of context. Any other day... No. But Pelosi has more testicular fortitude than perhaps other people in our reigning government.
Anyone since Newt Gingrich.
It's first one there since Newt Gingrich. That's right. And she landed in Taiwan. And so the next, it's going to be interesting to see what the Chinese do. Because now we have a carrier battle group there, plus other things that we've moved around. The Chinese have all of China next to Taiwan. And so it'll be interesting. But Nancy Pelosi landed in Taipei. So see what happens next. Okay. Anyway, Max, everything I'm seeing is negative about the military. As you know, I served for a long time. I love the military. I love the Marine Corps. And yet I'm seeing is that the military, especially the Army, cannot make their recruiting goals. They're having to cut their standards. That the number of people that think about joining the military has dropped dramatically. Legacy military families are telling their kids not to join. Like many of our law enforcement agencies, or a lot of them are legacies, are telling their kids not to join the law enforcement. Number of people that can even get into the military has dropped dramatically. It's like 1 in 4.
Yeah, 1 in 4.
So 4 of them walk down there. They're only able to take one that meets the weight requirements, the drug requirements, the mental requirements or something.
Intelligence as well. Yeah.
Yeah, intelligence. You know, can't pass the ASVAB.
Right.
Which is not an extremely hard hard test, but it does give you an idea if they can grasp what's being taught to them in today's military, and that the people of America have dropped in their respect and confidence in the military. All of this.
Yeah, I'm not going to sugarcoat it.
Yeah.
It's really bad.
It's really bad.
Recruitment is terrible this year. It's probably going to be terrible next year because we have almost no one in the pipeline. That's kind of a I won't get into that. But basically, usually in the Army starts each year with a lot of people in the pipeline.
Yeah. So they hold until the next year.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Well,
they're high school kids and they're waiting to go.
They're pulling people forward. And, you know, I can tell from personal experience. So I'm in the reserves. We were talking about battalion command earlier. The reserves can't even fill battalion command slots. This used to be, you know, the best part of your Army career. And people would be fighting for battalion command slots. We got like 100 unfilled slots in the Army reserves. My personal unit, we're at like half strength, right? I'm a first sergeant of Charlie Company, but I'm actually a first sergeant of Charlie and Delta Company. I have a completely empty Delta Company that I, you know, manage the equipment of, but it's just an empty roster because I can't fill anyone there.
A lot of people say this is happening because of the military is getting politicized. Your thoughts?
I think a lot more of it's just the really tight job market. I mean, we've had two people drop out. I think it's definitely not helping that the military is getting politicized. And I don't want to cut you off. But yeah, of the two people that dropped out of my unit, right, both of them were like, oh, you know, I was in the pipeline, but this other job really came through and I don't want to stop that to go to basic training. So I'm just going to stay with this, you know,
that's true. But we had the same problem back in the 90s where the job market was really hot.
Yeah, it was really
hot. But yet recruiting was still there.
You're right.
I'd like to throw out something that I heard that many of our young men and women who join come from a group of people, a group of Americans that love this country that are politically probably lean to the right a little bit, and that when they see what's going on with the wokeism of the military, they just go someplace else.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think the vaccine mandate also hurt.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it got political.
I know a young man that went through nuke school, finished at the top of his class.
So this guy's crazy enough to work. I just want to set the context for all you listeners. This guy's crazy enough to work on a reactor in a submarine. And then he's
not crazy. I mean, we have never had, okay, we can get into nuclear power too, but, anyway, but because he didn't take that shot.
Right. And I think that's a miss. I just, you know, part of me is like, well, the Army's makes me get 12 vaccines, right? Why is this one extra?
I understand
extra,
that. But I don't know how many,
you know, and it's like, you know, hey, here's a dumb thing you disagree with about the Army. Well, you're going to find a lot of them. It has become a politicized issue. I think the Army walked into it. I talked to a couple people, you know, just out talking to voters, and they're like, well, I'm not going to join. I got to take a shot. So I think you're absolutely right.
But let's talk about they went in and looked for extremists in the military. That was a big thing. They're teaching the CRT, critical race theory. They're changing pronouns. Like this one came in and says you will no longer say he or she. It'll be airman or something like this.
Wait, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I just saw that one in an Air Force base. And then you've got things about you've got to use the correct pronouns. You know, the military has got one job. You know this. It's to wage war.
Exactly. We fight and win our nation's wars. We close with and destroy the enemy.
And you know what? That is not a woke group.
No.
You know that.
No.
Is not a woke group that has to go into combat like that.
Yeah. I will say on the pronoun issue, right? So I just got this training last month, and now I have to give it to my guys. You know, the Army is very clear. It's like, hey, just use the pronoun endears, which honestly, for me, I'm like, okay, well, that's fine. Right. So endears is kind of like the Army system, gender of record. So once you get it fixed in endears, that's the pronoun you use. So I don't know who this airman guy is. I will say I usually refer to people just by their last name, but you know, yeah, the pronoun thing, I can put that to rest if any of you listeners are concerned, at least on the Army side. So maybe that's just the Air Force being the Air Force. Okay. They're not here to defend themselves.
I've got another question. Okay, I'm going to hold you for this the whole 2 hours. Here's the other question: is the when we start talking about this, what can we know that this is causing an impact?
Yeah.
And yet we see nothing. We don't see one person standing up from the Democratic Party that's saying, hey, guys, this is going to impact on us, maybe not this instant, but how about a year from now or 5 years from now? How come we don't see any Democrats doing that?
You know, I don't know. I'm actually more mad at people in DOD. I feel, because I'm a kind of a, you know, I'm pretty down the weeds, right? Like, I don't want to give anyone the false impression that a first sergeant is very high up. But, you know, I am in charge of a company, or the head NCO.
You're the head NCO.
In
a
company.
Right.
And what I see is more and more BS requirements, CYA requirements. You know, hey, you got to have a class on SHARP, right? Sexual harassment, basically training. You got to have another class on X. You have another class on Y. And eventually it's like, oh, hey, have a class on, you know, driver's training. And, you know, I'm a reservist. We train 2 days a month. Right?
2 days a month and 2 weeks out of the summer.
Yeah.
You don't
and
have a lot of time.
I don't have a lot of time to make, you know, a SHARP class once every 3 months. You know, because you're basically telling me that, like, 2 hours of my training schedule every 3 months is going to be telling a private not to harass his teammate. I mean, that's bonkers, right? People join the Army Reserves because they want to kill people, or they want to do a job for an army that kills people, right? And, like, we want to kill bad guys. I should say that. We want to kill bad guys. And we don't train it to get lectured in basically bad PowerPoints and bad, you know, online classes about how we shouldn't be sexually harassing each other. And that's what I see the real problem of this move in the Army.
That comes from the leadership starting at the DOD, who is appointed by President Biden, not General Biden, because he's never spent a day in the military.
Served.
You know, God bless his son, Bo, who did serve.
Right.
But the
unlike Hunter, who served.
Unlike Hunter, who's... Would you like to be on the committee that goes after Hunter? Huh? If you were in there? Oh, no. Let me be on that committee.
I hope he fades from view. I think, you know, Hunter.
You hope he fades?
Oh, yeah. I mean, his
no, I
ability
hope he
to
faces,
make money.
Oh, no. I hope he faces
off his death
time
name.
In jail. Anyway, let's take a break.
Sorry.
We'll be right back.
North State Now is a magazine-formatted show that airs at 6 p.m. on Thursday evenings right here on KCNR at 6 p.m. Here's the lineup. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, covering film, theater, and what's happening in the North State. The second Thursday is Heroes of the North State with your host, Michelle Slade. The third Thursday is Enjoy the Magazine and Store with your hosts, James Masada and Rhonda Alvey. The fourth Thursday is a new show called Man Up with Ted Leidy and Carl Bott. That's North State Now every Thursday night right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Brought to you by ReddingCivic.com, Axiom Repertory Theater, Charlou's Tap House, Umbrella Marketing, and Tobacco and Brew.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
What does great pizza and ice cold beer have in common? Charlou's Tap House and mobile catering, of course. Charlou's Pizza, pasta, and more made from scratch with old family recipes using only the finest ingredients. Charlou's will not disappoint when you bite into the bacon spicy mambo pizza. Get ready for an experience you won't find anywhere else. Call Charlou's today to book their patio for your next birthday, baby shower, anniversary, or any other private party. Remember, everything is homemade using secret family recipes. Be sure to try their famous Sundial steak salad with perfectly grilled steak tossed in their homemade tomato vinaigrette dressing. Charlou's Tap House, your ultimate beer experience. Charlou's Tap House rule number one, come for the homemade pizza, stay for the beer wall. Charlou's Tap House rule number two, never stay empty-handed. Charlou's Tap House and mobile catering in two locations, Anderson Outlets and in Reading at the corner of Shasta and East Streets. Charlou's Tap House for dine-in, takeout, or delivery. Ask about booking their patio for your next private event.
Restaurant, Charlize Tap House, bringing family and friends together.
At Shasta Regional Medical Center, we're specialists in emergency care with the experience and training to deliver expert diagnosis and treatment to all emergency patients. Shasta Regional Medical Center is certified as an advanced primary stroke facility and is one of the nation's 50 top cardiovascular hospitals and is a fully accredited chest pain center. In an emergency, when every minute has meaning and every second counts, choose Shasta Regional Medical Center, your choice for emergency care. Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring for our community when minutes matter.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Today, the weather says a chance of showers between 11 AM and 2 PM. You know, it rained yesterday all of about... It got my windshield wet, and but one pass with my windshield wipers was enough. Maybe some showers today, maybe some thunderstorms. Got to watch out for that. Tomorrow it's going to be back 103. I'm with Max Steiner, who is a Democratic candidate for Congress, running against Congressman Doug LaMalfa. And I've had him here for 2 hours. It was only supposed to be an hour, but there's so many things I need to talk to a Democrat about, and especially one that's running for office. And we talked about the military. And now during the break, I brought up the fact that by many of the polls shows the Republicans coming in. I don't know what else Joe Biden can do to piss off America. But he's got 2 months to do it. And there's no doubt in my mind that somewhere along the line he can do this. What happens right now, Democrats control the House, and it's a standoff in the Senate. What happens if the Republicans do come in?
Yeah, I think we're probably looking at a deadlock situation, kind of like the last 4 years of Obama when there was a lot of shutdowns. Man, I think there was one Congress, you know, 1 2-year period, where there were 4 or 5 government shutdowns. And that's probably what it looked like for the last 2 years. The governments take one of the houses. And usually the party in power.
It's usually in the out year elections, the right. Other party comes in.
Yeah, exactly. We saw it in 2018.
Yeah.
We saw it in 2010. You can have big sweeps, right? Obama was a lot more popular than Biden at this point. He still lost the House in 2010.
Yeah. A question came in. What do you think about Governor Newsom?
I don't like Newsom, right? I mean, I think California should be a place where Democrats can point to and say, this is what Democratic rule looks like. And right now, that is not what we can do, right? Like, I'm a Democrat. You know, I'm a fairly conservative Democrat on the moderate side, and Newsom's definitely not. But I do want to be able to brag about California because I'm a Californian and a Democrat, and Democrats run California, right? We have complete control. We as Democrats cannot blame anything in California on the Republicans. It is all our own fault. And our state's not nearly as strong as it should be. You know, if we've got a lot of problems in the state and the Democrats aren't solving them. So, you know, I kind of understand when Republicans say, why should I put you in power in Washington if you can't even solve California? I think that's a really credible attack. And I think a lot of it comes down to the governor.
Well, I can't even add to that, except one thing. Are we ready to – do we have that? Oh, he's in there talking to somebody. That's absolutely true. I have friends that when I – you know, are you still in California? Yeah. And I try to tell them there's a difference, Northern California than Southern California, but unfortunately we live under the laws of California. And we lose our water. We lose our rights under the Second Amendment, which should be, to me, I mean, that's pretty cut and dried. Even our First Amendment rights are being pushed. Because if you don't like something you say, you're canceled or you can't say that or you're going to, as you've learned in the military.
But the Fed. Oh, let me ask you about the bullet train. Or the high speed rail.
I mean, it's bonkers, right? And that's not actually Newsom's fault because he just inherited it. He should have killed it. You know, Jerry Brown
could have killed it. The only thing he had to do was take away that money.
Right. Yeah. He had his chance that first winter or whatever. He didn't. Listen, high speed rail is going to be a complete failure. I kind of looked at this. I won't talk about that. But yeah, there's no market there, right? You're not going to have people driving or taking a high speed rail from Merced to Bakersfield. It's a pipe dream. It is a train to nowhere. I've seen that quote. Good one. But yeah, we could have spent that money on dams, right? Like that's a $20 billion waste of money. We could have built sites. It's, $1.5 billion. We could have raised Shasta for another $1.5 billion. You know, we could have had 3 or 4 million acre feet of additional water instead of that train. And instead, and this is what I'm talking about, you know, that's going to be an embarrassment for the Democratic Party going forward, because everyone will point at that and say, you can't build infrastructure, right? We as the Democratic Party, we used to build infrastructure, right? We built the highway. Well, highway system was Eisenhower, Republican.
It was Eisenhower.
We built the dams, right? Kennedy opened up Whiskeytown. You know, like, and we're not anymore. Now we're, you know, we're just burning money in the
people
Valley.
I have heard this, and I'm that the Republican Party is becoming the party of the blue collar. And the Democrats are becoming a party of the white collar elite college graduates.
Yeah, and I think that's really, really a problem. It's a problem, definitely a problem for the Democratic Party. It's one of the things I want to reverse, right? I mean, because I think we need, as a country, like we're built on the backs of blue collar workers, right? In agriculture and manufacturing, you know, like I don't want us to be an elite party that's run by a bunch of Ivy League grads and just counts on deep blue districts to keep getting reelected.
Well, here's my last question, and answer it quick because then I'm going to give the last 3 minutes to you. The things that you are standing for, the things you're talking about, could immediately make you a pariah in the Democratic Party, where Pelosi gives you your office is the broom office in the bottom of the basement. How do you combat that?
Yeah. I think a lot of people look at me and it's like, oh, well, you're just going to be like, if a Democrat said the things that I said and was elected in the Bay Area, you're right. He'd get the broom office. But when you can win a seat that's the other side, right? Manchin, he's got a lot of power. He definitely does not follow
well,
everything.
Because he's the one that controls the Senate.
Well, but yeah, but he's also representing West Virginia, right? West Virginia is twice the Trump margin as District 1, right? So people look around and you see all the Trump flags here, right? Multiply that by two. So that's the margin, the difference there. And being able to be a guy that can win over the other side, that has a lot of power in Washington because it's increasingly a rare attribute. And so that's my pitch, right, to voters, and it's going to be my pitch to Nancy Pelosi, is that, oh, right, now we're transitioning to the pitch.
Now that
happened. No, so naturally, Carl.
Yeah, that was a good segue, buddy.
But yeah, so, you know, like, I want to go to Washington. I want to fight for District 1. I'm not going to fight for the National Democratic Party. I don't think it's earned it. But I want to make our country better. I want to make District 1 better. And the priorities there are forestry. We need to fix our forests. They're water. We need to build more dams. And, you know, like, then nationally, we need a stronger military. We talked about that before. I do want to codify Roe v. Wade into law. We talked about that as well. And these are, you know, fundamental rights that I think are really important. I think it was a good compromise on Roe v. Wade. I think we should go back to it. You know, we're talking about things abroad. Nancy Pelosi just landed in Taiwan. I think that's great. I think it's good to see us standing up to China forcefully. I think we build upon, basically that pivot that President Trump started. I am opposed to many of the things that President Trump did, and I do not like him as a person. And many people will disagree, and that's fine, right? Americans, democracy is all about disagreeing.
Yeah.
But on foreign policy, standing up to China, I'm completely behind President Trump on that. And I don't want him to see him return to office. I'm sure many listeners do. But right. I mean, like, I think it's also, and this is kind of like the more important thing, you know, we need to respect the results of elections. And we did not see that in 2020. We had the Republican Party say, no, I can't believe I lost, so I'm not going to believe I lost. And frankly, you know, sometimes you have a heartbreak election, right? You know, the Democrats were heartbroken in 2000 when Gore barely lost to Bush. But we all rallied around President Bush, and then a year later, September 11th happened, and then a year after that, or 2 years after that, I joined the Army. And, you know, I proudly enlisted. And so there's a lot of things that we need to do as a country, but I think we have to recognize that the status quo is failing. And I am a different from the status quo. I'm a different kind of Democrat. I would be different than Doug LaMalfa. I'm a moderate. I'm a veteran. And I want to serve you in Washington. And I would love to earn your vote in November.
Okay. Max Steiner, thanks a lot for being with us, buddy. And Congressman LaMalfa will be on Friday. So it's, you can get both ends of the spectrum in 1 week right here at KCNR. Tomorrow, like I said, the Reading Police Department and will be with us along with somebody else. That's maybe two or three other people. Who knows? Have a great day. It's not going to be as hot, but it's still going to be hot out there. If you leave your dog in the car, you can still kill him. God bless America. Well, I won't.